and why we do teach children doctrine back there, because we want them to grow up. And that's really the point of teaching children. Nowadays, so many people worship children, and they kind of worship childhood. And so if you haven't had a good childhood, you know, this is the worst thing that can ever happen to you. But actually, the Bible talks about being mature and being full-grown adults. And so I want to talk this morning about children and understanding. Because really, what it means to be a child and what it means to be an adult is only a difference of the understanding that you have. It's having that responsibility and having a position. And God has given us what we need to grow up and mature in God's Word. Okay, and so we'll talk about that this morning dispensationally, but it also, you'll eventually get some practical application. If you are wanting a child or have a child or you've had children, you'll see where God teaches us doctrinally how to change our behavior. And so we often talk about practical instructions being a result of doctrine. And that's the proper order. So many people today also in churches talk most about practical teachings because that's what people want. They want things useful for their life, and yet where it begins is doctrine. If you don't understand doctrine, the practicalities don't make sense, or sometimes they go off into another area that really is unbiblical. Okay, and so the best way to teach a practical doctrine is to start with the biblical doctrine of salvation and what God's doing. Okay, God's dispensational truth. So that's what we're doing this morning. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3, we'll get started. Now, a child, as we start out this morning, we want to define what a child is and what an adult is. And we see in the Bible that a child is not just someone, although the majority of them that are young in age, a child is not just someone that is young in age. They can be old people, okay, which may throw your worldview into a tizzy, because there are old people that are children in understanding. Okay, they're young in their minds. They don't know, or they're not responsible. And we see that the term thrown around nowadays, especially with some generations who grow up being children, or they're just full-grown kids, okay, is what people say. In 1 Corinthians 3, we have an example where Paul calls the Corinthians babes. Remember that in our study of that book? In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, which would be a mature spiritual adult, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, a babe in Christ, of course, is someone who just got saved. So they could be 5, they can be 10, they can be 50. They get saved in the first year of the gospel. Now they're a babe in Christ. Okay, that they just understood the gospel grace of God. Now they're going to have their mind changed about how God operates in their life and how to interpret the rest of the Bible because they just understood the gospel grace of God. We saw it this morning when talking with about some other teachers who don't rightly divide. It's hard to understand whether or not they even get the Bible rightly divided, whether they understand the gospel because they say so many wrong things. And so it's just evident that they're handling the Bible like a child would, just kind of going anywhere and missing some understanding. It's important for them to be spiritual. Paul's saying the same thing to the Corinthians. They're lacking some information, some spiritual understanding, and so they're babes. Okay. Now also, teachers don't necessarily, it's not necessarily required in a teacher that you be 98 years old. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul calls Timothy, who is the bishop of the folks over there in Ephesus, and he says to him, don't let any man despise your youth. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. But he tells him in the previous verse, these things command and teach. So apparently Timothy, who is youth, which doesn't necessarily mean he's a teenager, it just means he's a younger man. That's what the word youth means. Okay, he's commanding and teaching people. Now, what gives him the right to do that? Do we look at all young people and say, you teach us and command us? Well, that'd be kind of silly. The reason why Timothy is commanding and teaching things to these people, because he has understanding. You read in 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 16, that from a child he was raised up in understanding in the Scripture. And that's where Paul says all Scripture is profitable. And he has the knowledge of salvation. He has the knowledge of Paul's mystery information. So Timothy is equipped to teach certain things to people. And thus to command. Okay, so he has command and teach here. Let them despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. This is no child, okay? Though he's young, he's youth. So you see at the very beginning, the outset, we need to understand that being a child and being an adult doesn't have nothing to do with your age, okay? Just because you're getting older in age does not mean you're an adult now. Now, there are some things physically and in this world that we kind of attach to age. You can't drink until you're a certain age. You can't drive until you're a certain age. You can't do that until you're a certain age. When really, the issue that we should be should be talking about is responsibility. It should be our understanding of things. What good is it if you say you can't drink to this until this age? If they have no responsibility, if they have no understanding, if they can't use it properly, if they have that, don't have that position. So that's the real biblical meaning of what a child and an adult is, a full-grown son. It has to do with your knowledge, your judgment, your experience, your understanding of things. Okay? If you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, in a Webster's dictionary, Daniel Webster back there would define, or Noah Webster rather, would define words using the Bible, which is a good way to define your English words, using a Bible that predates every English dictionary you have. Okay, that'd be a good place to find a definition of an English word. In Jeremiah chapter 1, he says this is where we can define what a child is. This is the popular passage in verse 5 where God tells him that I knew you from your mother's womb. Right? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah had no choice in this matter. Okay? God ordained him and chose him, and he knew him before he was formed. That's because he's God. He sees the future. He has foreknowledge of things. But we'd be wrong to take Jeremiah 1:5 and apply it to every one of us. Yes, God knew you before you were formed in the womb too. But he didn't ordain you a prophet of the nations. That's Jeremiah. Okay? So let it lie that Jeremiah is the prophet and you're not. And don't take that out of context. But Jeremiah 1 verse 6 says, Jeremiah responds, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Okay? So what's a child in Jeremiah 1:6? According to Webster, it's someone who doesn't have the knowledge, the judgment, the understanding of something. I can't do this. I'm not ready for this yet. I'm a child. Okay? There are a lot of things that if you were asked to do, you would do them like a child would. You have no clue how to do it. Right? I'm pretty childish when it comes to rocket science. I just wouldn't know. You put a problem in front of me, you tell me how to calculate the rockets in outer space, I don't know. I'm a child. I'm lacking understanding. Okay? And so there's lots of things that all of us can relate to that we're children in. But when the Bible talks about being a child and an adult, it's not talking about how many facts you know, how many times tables you can do. It's talking about your understanding of God's will specifically, understanding of right and wrong, understanding of your responsibility to do right. Okay, and that's something that anyone can learn with the revelation of God's word, something that any parent can teach their children if they understand that and they're mature themselves. Okay, and so there's an idea that we need to teach our children a bunch of facts, a bunch of information, when really that is not what grows them up. Okay, anybody at any age can learn more information. All right, but a child needs to mature by understanding what is truth, understanding right and wrong, understanding what God's doing in the dispensation, understanding sin and death and life, the important things, the foundations that allow them to operate and take personal responsibility in the details of their life. That's not difficult, folks. It takes some work, but it's not as difficult as people tend to make it. Okay? And so that's what progressing or maturing from a child to an adult entails. Look at Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. By the way, in Jeremiah 1, 6 and 7, when Jeremiah says, I cannot speak, I am a child, the Lord says, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He says, I'll give you what to say. I'll tell you what to do. All right? So people who are young children that are in certain things say, I can't do that. I don't know how to do it yet. I'm not responsible enough. I can't take that burden on myself. And God's telling Jeremiah, I'll provide a way for you to do it. Okay, which is a good lesson to start out with, is that God, through the Bible, provides the way of maturity for all of His, if I can say this very spiritual, liberal term, the children of God. All of His children, He provides the way to mature. Okay, but Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3, we have another definition passage here about what it means to be a child. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. It's an interesting study if you do a study on the bread and water in the Bible or the stay and the staff. It always relates to knowledge of the truth, always relates to that the truth revealed from God. But he says here, I will withhold that from Jerusalem and Judah. Verse 2, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, the ancient, the captain of 50, the man responsible, right? The honorable man, the counselor, the cunning with knowledge, the cunning artificer, an eloquent orator. These people are all going to go away, he says. They're not going to be there. And in verse 4, what's going to be left? I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. God's punishing Israel because all these wise men, all the people with understanding, all the people with responsibility and positions are going to leave. The only people left are children. So reverse the meaning of it. Who are children? They're people who don't have understanding, can't take responsibility, are not holding a position and a duty they're supposed to perform. That's what children are. So what would we expect from children? Well, children are selfish, right? Children can't make choices on their own, and children don't do what's expected. That's what a child is. Okay, that's what a child is by nature. Now, to the extent that children learn how to take responsibility and do what is expected and are not selfish, they're growing up. That's what it means to raise a child, like to mature them. And God's Word provides the way to do that. So I have on your outline there a definition of a child, which is a young person, yes, but not only a young person. It could be young person in relation to something, like the truth. You can be young in the gospel. You can be young in understanding the mystery of Christ. The Bible rightly divided. You are weak in knowledge. Paul also calls people in his epistles weaker brethren. That's a nice way of saying they're children. Weaker brethren who do not yet have a knowledge and understanding of the dispensation of grace. The Bible rightly divided. They don't yet know as they should know. Okay. So if they don't have the judgment, the experience, then they're a child. That's what that means. What separates a child from an adult is not just your age. It's understanding, responsibility, and the position that you take, the duty that you perform. Okay. Now look back in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Now that we've defined what that is from the Bible, we're going to see multiple times in the Bible where God matures children. God never wants you to stay in your childhood. There's a common Christianism that floats around that God wants us to have faith like a child. And He wants us to stay as little children, little babies. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Okay. We should be humble like children in that they serve their parents. They submit to their parents, just like we should submit to God. That's what Jesus was teaching. Okay, but God never wants us to stay in our childhood. Because that means you're ignorant, you don't take responsibility, you don't do what's expected. Who wants that? That's not godly. Exodus 4, verse 22, back here when God delivers Israel out of Egypt, He says, "Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." So when you have a child, as we all know, the physiological progression, it starts as a baby, then they grow up a little more, they're a child, then eventually they become responsible and have understanding, and they can operate on their own. They're grown up. That often happens quicker than people may think, but that's the progression. So Exodus 4:22 is when Israel is born. The nation wasn't a nation until they came out of Egypt, and God delivered them out of Egypt, right? And now they're a nation. Now, there was a promise of the nation given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they had to have many kids before they were a nation. And so here they are. And God said, "Deliver Israel. Israel is my son, even my firstborn." They're babies. What's Israel supposed to do back here? They don't know. There's giant miraculous signs. They haven't been given the law yet. He's just delivered them out of Egypt. You see, this is their firstborn. When Jesus talks about being born again in John 3, He's talking to Israel and says, "Look, you were born back there in Egypt as my chosen nation, as my son, but you'd be born again. You can't stay a child. There's going to be a change in you before you get the inheritance." Okay, that born-again principle for the nation of Israel. But God gave His children Israel maturity by teaching them how to choose right and wrong. Remember what Joshua said to the nation of Israel before they went to the Promised Land? "I've set before you this day life and death. Choose life," right? God revealed to Israel the law, and that law gave them an edge. It gave them an education, a teaching in understanding right and wrong. And He taught them how to choose. When you're faced with a decision on whether to murder or not murder, thou shalt not. You know, you're faced with a decision on this. This is how you do it, right and wrong. Okay, so there's that education of the baby, Israel, when they're born out of Egypt. And He's trying to mature them to understand some things. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 6. God gave Israel the law so that they would teach their children. That was the point. All right? Now, of course, who's going to teach the children but the parents and the adults? But you know what? They needed taught too. And so God, the Father of them all, gave them the law. Deuteronomy 6, verse 3. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that flows with milk and honey." What we see here is that God first gives a promise. Israel is their firstborn, is God's firstborn, and He says, "I have promised to make you a nation, I promise to give you a land, I promise to make you a people above the people, but you know what? You're not ready yet. I've got to give you something here, some maturity. I've got to give you some information so you can understand some things, so you can be responsible to be my priests." Israel wasn't ready when they first came out of Egypt to be the priests of the Lord. Okay, they weren't ready. They had to grow up. They had to mature. So God says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 3, that I have promised you some things. I promised them to your fathers in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house. Every Jew today who is a law-abiding Jew will have something on the doorpost of their house that is this, the Shema, the Deuteronomy 6. It talks about there's one Lord, one God, and we're going to do His commandments. Okay? So they took it literally. That's what they do. Deuteronomy 6, verse 9. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land, which He sware unto thy fathers, He promised, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Right. So you see the inheritance there? He says, I promised you some things, here's the law, that you're going to do them, and I'm promising you an inheritance. So you see the steps of maturity. You're babies. You got a promise. I'm giving you a law that you're going to do them. And I'm going to give you an inheritance, but not yet. Right? But you need to do these things. Don't forget who I am. Okay? You see the steps of maturity here back under the law system. A lot of people deal with their families according to a law system. And so this is all they know about raising their children is that you got the Ten Commandments. Boom. You get 630 points of law, and thou shalt do this. Okay? Which is a good place to start, but you know there's mystery information about this. Look at Ezekiel 36. You know, Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it." That's what God was doing with the law system. He gave them the law, training them in right and wrong, so that when they get old, they will not depart from it. Right? There was a problem with that law, which was, as we know, is that no one could do it. Don't we know nobody could do that law? What good is it for God to get 630 points of law to the children there when they can't even do it? Right? There's no way they can be perfect. There's no way they can not break any of these laws. And yet God already promised them an inheritance. How are they going to get that? Ezekiel chapter 36 talks about this. And of course, this is old hat for us. We're just covering it here in review, where God promised to Israel a new covenant, right? A new way to deal with them. And He said, I can't deal with you as under that law back in Horeb, because you're breaking it all the time. But in verse 26 of chapter 36 of Ezekiel 36:26, He says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh." There's a change. There's a being born again that happens here, where God changes their heart and gives them a new spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, that you shall keep my judgments and do them." You see that? "And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." It's at that time when I cause you to do these commandments, when you actually obey them, when you take responsibility, that I will be your God and you'll be my people. That's when finally I can look at you and say, "You're mature. You're my people. I'm your God." Back here, they're babies. Back here, they're breaking the law. Ezekiel 36 says, "I'm going to give you a new deal, a new covenant, that will cause you to do this thing, that you will mature you. A new heart, new flesh. Okay, and you'll get the inheritance that I promised." Look at Jeremiah 31 for another place here, where God talks about this new covenant for Israel and their maturity process. This is how God was raising His children, His chosen people Israel, to be mature adults. And it was through the covenant program. So this new covenant, Jeremiah 31:31, He will make with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. This is the new covenant He'll make with His children. You know, when Israel prayed in Matthew 6, "Our Father who art in heaven," that's not a general prayer that any Gentile can pray. God was the Father of Israel. And so when they prayed, "Our Father," that's the Father of Israel, the God of Israel. Gentiles couldn't pray that. Okay? So Israel was were the chosen children of God. Jeremiah 31:31, He makes a new covenant with that house of Israel. And it's not according to the old covenant that we just read about in Deuteronomy 6, in verse 32. And verse 33, "This shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, I will put my law in their inward parts. I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. I will remember their sin no more.
So what's the characteristic of this time over here in maturity and their inheritance? Well, they're all going to have knowledge, right? And they're going to do some things.
Didn't we talk about earlier how what separates a child from an adult is understanding and responsibility, right? Well, they don't have it back here. They're not doing the things they're expected to do. And they don't have the knowledge that they need to have over here. But Jeremiah 31, he's going to give them that knowledge. He's going to cause them to do these things. And they're going to finally take that position as sons of God. They're going to be priests of the Lord. See? So they're going to be mature adults dispensationally with the knowledge of God to do His will, be responsible, and take that position that God's given them and promised them ever since they were born. Right? When your child is born, he's your child till the day he dies. He's your child. He's promised some things from you, but you know what? He's not ready yet to receive that inheritance. You've got some inheritance laid back. You've got a business or an empire you've created. I'm going to give it to my son. Well, he's not ready yet. He's a baby, right? So you've got to teach him and train him and raise him up as a child. This is what's happened dispensationally. God gave the law to Israel. There's a time over here where God will give them that inheritance because they have the knowledge, responsibility, and they're taking that position. Okay, that's what it means to raise a child in the Bible according to Israel's program. All right, let's look at Revelation 21, verse 3. Look over here at this time of inheritance where Israel, that firstborn of God, that nation, the chosen people, His children, actually receive that position, receive the thing that was promised to the fathers. And prophecy is fulfilled in Revelation 21, verse 3. Verse 2, we see John, who sees the holy city, the new Jerusalem, prepares a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." You see, God does not deal with them as children except just to punish them. If they break the law, He punishes them. If they do the law, He blesses them. But as adults, as sons, He dwells with them. He works with them. He lives with them. He operates with them. Revelation 21, verse 3. Verse 4 says, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." He says, "It is done," in verse 6. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Right? Well, I thought Israel was his son since he promised them that back with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, he was. They were always his son since he promised this chosen nation back here. But they had to go through this raising process, maturity process, where he gave them the law and the covenant. And finally, they reach this point where they're mature, and God dwells with them, and he calls them my son. My mature, grown-up son. Right? And he gives them things freely. There's no covenant. There's no, well, you got to clean up your room first. Right? It's, we're adults here. You're my people. I'm your God. Drink the water of life freely. Because they're obedient. They take responsibility in that position as sons. Do you see that? That raising of the children that God does here in Revelation 21. You see it all through the Bible. Now let's look in Galatians chapter 3. We're going to go through this three or four times to see how this works in the Bible, how God not only raises Israel to be his sons, but he has a plan and purpose for the Gentiles as well, according to the revelation of the mystery of Christ. We know in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. All right? So whereas Israel was told they needed to have the understanding of the law written in their hearts to get their inheritance, to mature, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. There's something Israel did not know that we've been privileged to have access to. Okay? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, Paul says, "I write so that you might have knowledge of the mystery that was given to me." When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 3, verse 9 and 10 is to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery. That's information. That's doctrine. "But from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God." So the church is the giver of this doctrine, this information, to those in heavenly places. The church is the teacher, right? Well, you can't be a teacher unless you're mature, unless you have something to teach, unless you have understanding, you have doctrine. You don't give a child responsibility to be a teacher. We saw that back in Isaiah. That was a punishment. But children are your teacher because they lack understanding. But the point is, Paul says that there's been information, there's been knowledge given to me, right, to give to you. And I told you to turn to Galatians 3. In Galatians 3, Paul describes the explanation, or he describes the progress of God's revelation throughout history. We've already seen how God promised Israel, and then he gave them the law to help grow them up. And then, over here we saw in the future this time of inheritance where they're mature and they get that sonship. Galatians 3, Paul walks through the same thing in verse 16 when he says, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Oh, that's interesting. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, where Abraham and his seed, the promises were made. Okay. And then in verse 16, he saith not to seed as of many, but as of one, to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, it should make the promise none effect. How's that? What's he saying here? Well, he says God added the law 430 years after the promise, right? But just because God made a law that said if you do this, then I'll bless you, if you don't, then I'll curse you, does not take away the fact that God promised his babies, his sons, that they would have this, right? So you're raising your children, and you're saying, well, if you don't clean your room, I'm giving you a spanking. And if they don't do it, does that mean they're not your child anymore? When they were born, you said, I'll be your father the rest of your life, right? He doesn't just know that. You see, there's a promise given to these babies in Israel, and Paul says God gave them the law, and he can't disannul the promise. The law was there for a purpose, which was to raise them up, to show them some knowledge, to give them understanding of the truth. Galatians 3, 18. If the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. The thing that was promised to Israel to have was given by promise to Abraham. But he added the law. Why? Because they needed to grow up. They were not ready to receive this. They needed to go through this maturation process. Okay? Moving on, in Galatians 3, verse 19, Paul asks an excellent question. Wherefore, then, serveth the law? Here's a Jew who's blameless according to the law. He's asking, why are we serving the law? He would have been stoned for that, and he was. Okay? Because obviously the law was given of God, and you do what Dad said. I mean, God says, right? That's the law, right? But Paul's asking the question out of his maturity: why am I serving the law if I'm going to get the inheritance by promise anyway? If I'm going to grow up and God, Dad's going to give me the car, why am I doing what he says? Right? You see what's going on? He's why am I serving the law? It was added because of transgressions, he says, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So, you see, the law, we know in Romans 3:21, brings the knowledge of sin. Okay? The law was to teach Israel, to teach God's dispensational children, that you have sin. There's right and there's wrong. You need to understand this. You need to have the discernment to know right and wrong. You need to have a knowledge of the truth here. Okay? So under the law program, yeah, it's conditional. It requires obedience. Okay, it requires you to take responsibility, and when you don't, you get punished. But your position here is one of submission. You're under the law program. Okay, and you're being raised up into the knowledge of the truth. Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? The fact that you promised your son to have his inheritance, does that mean that when you said, well, I'm not giving it to you unless you do this, as my child, that you're against him? Any parent would know, no, that's not the truth. I'm trying to teach my child how to do right. I'm trying to teach them how to be responsible so they can deal with this properly. You see? That's what's going on here. And so Paul says, God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And so we have here a time that Paul declares faith. There's a graduation from this school of the law. There's babies here, there's children here, then there's graduation. And Paul says, verse 23, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterward be revealed. Okay, when you're a child, you don't get things just because you're the child, just because you're the heir of the inheritance. You're under submission to the commandments and the teachings of the parent, of God. Okay, that's just like Israel under the law system. Verse 24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ? Who goes to school?
Children.
Right? Why? Because they need to learn understanding. They need to learn responsibility. They need to learn what it means to be a functioning adult. Unfortunately, that's not taught in schools nowadays. And so what people get is just a bunch of, you know, mathematics and things. Three R's. Wasn't that great? They need to learn how to read and write. You know, why do they need to learn how to read and write and do arithmetic so that they can operate as an adult? You know what's more important than reading and writing arithmetic is what it means to be an adult. To have understanding of things, right and wrong. You know, that's what's important. And so in Galatians 3:24, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ by faith. Okay. After that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Wow, that's revolutionary. You're saying, once Christ has come, once it's matured, we don't need that anymore. Yeah, that's exactly right. This happened when you grew up, eventually. Maybe been having some trouble in transition there in your life. But eventually, there was a time when you were considered an adult. And you didn't need those childish laws anymore. Now, hopefully, you learned how to function as an adult, so you're not making mistakes all the time. But you see the process there. Once the faith comes, you're no longer under the schoolmaster. In verse 26, Paul talks about our position. He's talking to the Galatians here dispensationally. There was a promise, there was the law, but we're not under the law anymore, Paul says. Dispensationally speaking, something else has happened. He says there's been the dispensation of God's grace. He's revealed the mystery of Christ. It's by faith only, without works. He's given us a position in heavenly places. And he says in verse 26, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now that's different than what God told Israel, of course. And we've covered the differences before. Exodus 4:22, Israel was God's firstborn. But Paul here is talking to these Gentile Galatians saying, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Right? So there's a grace message. Something else has been revealed. So we can have the mystery here. We can have that grace message that Paul's talking about, that you're all children of God by faith. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, not Christ pouring the Spirit on you, or not, you know, Christ baptizing you with fire, but you being baptized, identified with Christ, you have put on Christ. That's a positional truth. You put him on, right? So what's that mean? You don't need the law anymore. You've put on Christ. What's it mean? It means that you're crucified to your flesh. I'm walking in newness of life. I'm no longer a child. I'm not under the law program. I'm a new creature. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I have a position. I have a duty. I have a responsibility. And I have understanding of how to do it. Right? That's what it means to be an adult. In Galatians 3, we have all that provided for us in the revelation of the mystery. Okay? Paul says, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Under the law program, there are certain people that couldn't do certain things. Other people could do certain things. Why? God said so. Right? Oh. When you're a child, there are certain people in your family who do certain things. But as an adult, why? Dad said so. That's how it works under the law program. But there comes a time, you see, when faith comes, you put on Christ, you've crucified your old man with Christ on the cross. You don't need this anymore. Because now you have personal responsibility. You have understanding of what you need to be and how to act. And you take that position. Okay, that's what it means to mature. To be a child with understanding, which means you're an adult now. Okay, it means you've grown up. Verse 29 says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs, according to the promise. Paul's not saying here, you're now Israel. He's saying, look what's happened here. God gave a promise, but they weren't ready, so he gave the law. And when faith comes, you're mature, you get the inheritance, and you people have the inheritance. You're made heirs with Christ. Now, he's not talking, of course, about the earthly inheritance, so we can go days long about that, how the differences between Israel and the church. But Paul's not dealing with that. He's dealing with the Galatians and how they think they're operating under the law program. And Paul's saying, that's a step backwards, folks. That's going back to childhood when you didn't understand the things I'm revealing to you now, the mystery of Christ. Okay? Children do not understand things. Adults do. That's the difference. And so Paul's saying, look, God has given us the revelation, the mystery. We understand things that no one understood before. We are dispensationally adults. When people say, let's go back under the law program, he's going, no, that's going back to school. It's going back a few steps. Okay? Galatians chapter 4. We've seen it in Galatians 3, how Paul goes through it. Let's see it in Galatians 4 once again. In the first two verses, Paul uses an analogy here. He says, I say that the heir, what he just said you are, you're an heir, right? You get the inheritance. You get the blessings. You get the things that the Father promised. Right? Now remember, God never promised Gentiles anything. Right? But you get those blessings through Christ. But Galatians 4, verse 1, the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Interesting. So here's a child who has the promise of being the Lord over all. Okay, even if he's got the highest promise, he's the son of the king, and so he gets to have the kingdom when he grows up, which you're not, of course. But let's just say that's what it is. It says, differing nothing from a servant. So when that son is a child, when that heir is a child, he's just like a servant. What's a servant do? A slave. Well, they're obedient. They're submissive. They have to obey. They can't take their own responsibility and say, I'm going to do this because I want to. No, you're not ready yet. An heir, as long as he is a child, means without understanding, without responsibility, he's a servant. All right? Children are saying, well, why do I have to obey my parents? Because you're a child. Okay? Prove that you have understanding of how to behave as an adult. Prove that you have responsibility. Prove that you can take the position of a full-grown adult. And you know what? Your parents will be happy. Wow! You cleaned your room? You brought money home? What? You bought your own car? It's amazing. Okay, well, go ahead. You know, be an adult. Doesn't matter how old you are. But see, that's what makes you a child. You don't do that. You don't take responsibility. You don't take a position. Right? And so that's the issue. In Galatians 4, Paul's trying to exhort the Galatians on that same point, using doctrine. Right? Because a child, when an heir is a child, he differs nothing from a servant. He has to obey the master. Okay? Though he be Lord of all. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Tutors and governors there have a function. Now, of course, doctrinally speaking, the tutors and the governors were the law program. You had these people, Israel, who were given a promise. And even though they were promised the whole world, quite literally, they were promised to be a nation above all the nations, to have dominion on the earth. Right? Even though they were promised that, when they were children, when they didn't have understanding and responsibility, they were like servants. Okay, under the law program. And they were under tutors and governors. A tutor is a teacher. You're having a difficulty in a topic, you get a tutor and they tell you, they help you along, they teach you what the right answer is, right? A governor is, every time I think of this, I think of Arnold Schwarzenegger, because he's the governor of California. But it's not too far away of an illustration that the guy governs you, he's going to whip you back into shape. You say, well, I'm going to go over here, and he goes, nope, that's not it. You direct and guide this person where they're going. That's different than teaching them things. You see the different functionality there. A tutor teaches them right and wrong. A governor says, you're going this way, you're not going anywhere else. Okay? So they need tutors and governors. God to tell them where to go, what to do, how to eat, and to teach them right and wrong. Don't kill, don't lie, you know. They need tutors and governors. If they didn't do what the tutor said, then they're proving their childishness. Right? If they didn't do what the governor said, they need correction and punishment, chastisement. We saw in Hebrews 12 earlier how God chastises those he loves. Right? Because he puts them under governors. What parent would not govern their children? Don't go in that pothole. Don't climb over that cliff. You know, don't touch that hot stove. I'm going to govern what you do for your own benefit because you can't do it on your own. That's what a child is. Okay? And that's what Israel was like in this condition. You see where I'm going with this, don't you? People today, they try to preach the law and they want things from God. They want God to do everything in their life. They're children. They need to grow up doctrinally. To take responsibility for themselves, to have the understanding of who God is and what He's doing. To take the position as full-grown sons, not to say, God, give me this, give me that, help me here, help me there. You want God to be your governor again? You want God to be your tutor again? You want Him to slap you on the wrist when you do something wrong? That's taking a step back, folks. We need to grow up dispensationally. We need to be understanding. We need to be understanding like men, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. Okay, so Galatians 4, verse 2. They're under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So here he's just talking about an analogy, talking about a real-life example. So apparently the heir is a child, so he's a servant, until the Father appoints the time. The what time? The time of his maturity. So here's an obligation on the parents out there. So you need to be able to identify the time when your child is no longer a child. Oftentimes what happens is a child is taking responsibility. They have understanding. When you treat them like a child, there's problems. They're not a child anymore. Just because they're younger than what you matured. Okay? Give them the responsibility. Let them prove themselves. If they don't prove themselves, they're still a child, obviously. Right? But there's a time appointed of the Father because they know what maturity looks like. Right? When they see the fruits of that, they're grown up. Okay? Verse 3, even so we, when we were children. So now Paul says, here's the example from real life. Here's the illustration. In verse 3, he says, now I'm talking about you. Doctrinally, even so we, when we were children, We're in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, a child is someone who lacks understanding, responsibility, and position. Okay? The Gentiles had no promises. They had no responsibility before God. They were totally disobedient, Romans 1 said. Okay, Romans 1, 28 through 32, we'll cover on Tuesday. All of those sins and inconvenient things the Gentiles did, showing they did not have the ability to do what was expected of them. Right? And Paul says, we, when we were children, were under in bondage under the elements of the world. Those elements of the world were the laws. Colossians 2 says those rudiments of the world are the laws that God placed on his children to teach them and train them. And so, verse 4, Paul says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So now Paul's just walking through the history of what happened. So, of course, his son is Jesus Christ. This is in verse 4, he was made of a woman, not of a man, which talks about the virginity of Mary. It also talks about how he's made under the law program, which tells you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Old Testament law books. He wasn't made at a time of grace. He was made under the law program. That's why Mary offered turtle doves when he was born, because that was what the law required. Sacrifice. Okay, in Galatians 4, verse 4. So when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth the Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The adoption of sons. That has not to do with you adopting some child from another family. That has to do with your growing up into, now you're a son. Now, the Jews call it bar mitzvah. There's a time of transition where you're no longer a child, now you're an adult. You know, and that's what Paul's talking about. There's a time where things have changed. Dispensationally speaking, Paul's saying things have changed. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, according to Israel's program, they received their adoption of sons in Revelation 21. Remember when God dwells with them and they do his law, they take their responsibility, and God says, I'm your God, you're my son. Right? Revelation 21. Here's Paul in Galatians, in this dispensation, 2,000 years ago, saying, we have the adoption of sons. We're mature. We're grown up. Verse 6 says, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So now you speak to him as a father. You're not a child anymore, like a servant and a master. Right? You're speaking to him, and his relationship is a father to you. And he's saying, my son. Right? You see the grown-up, mature relationship here. Thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You get all spiritual blessings. You get liberty in Christ. You get a position in heavenly places, right? You're crucified from your old man. You're not under the law program. That's what it means to be a mature son of God in this dispensation. So he goes on in verse 8. After he explains this doctrinal reality, he says in verse 8, how be it then, knowing this doctrinal truth, knowing how children are raised, knowing how God has changed the time, and knowing how you are now living in a time of mature doctrine, howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no God. Back then, when you didn't even know God, you were offering sacrifices and doing all sorts of religious activities. But now, he says, after you have known the real God, or rather are known of God, God knows you because now you're accepted in the Beloved, right? You're saved, you're kind of righteous in Jesus Christ, are known of God. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? He says, you observe days, months, times, and years. So they're following the law. Why are you going back here? If you're graduated from the school, if you're now mature, if you have the responsibility and the position and the understanding, why are you doing that? And so he says, I'm afraid of you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. What a fear for parents. Galatians 4, verse 11. That their children would come to an age where they're trying to do things on their own, and they fear that all the labor is in vain. Because they have no understanding, they're not responsible, they're not taking a position as an adult. That's a scary thing. That's a fear for parents. That it would not happen, right? That's what Paul's same fear is. He's saying, look, I'm teaching you understanding and doctrine. Be mature adults, right? And so he says later, I travail in birth with you until Christ be formed in you. And the point I'm trying to say here is not talking about necessarily parents and children, but about your relationship with God, right? That you, when you operate with God, are a mature saint. You're no longer a child with God because you have the understanding of the mystery of Christ. You have personal responsibility. God's not going to hit your hand when you do something bad. God's not going to give you spiritual blessings when you do something good. He's given you things freely now. You operate as a son, okay? And you have a position as an ambassador from the third heaven. You're not a servant. You're an ambassador, right? He's given you responsibility to be his representation to the world, okay? So you see the trust that he's given here. You have that position, that mature position. Let's see it again in 1 Corinthians 12:31. Now the Corinthians, we saw earlier, he called carnal and babes, right? So even though they had a position as mature adults before God, the Corinthians weren't acting like it. They weren't taking the responsibility that God gave them freely. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, they're fighting, of course, about their different spiritual gifts and powers that they had. And Paul says, "Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And we covered in detail the more excellent way in chapter 13 in our verse by verse, which is charity. All right? Charity rejoices in truth. Charity rejoices in understanding, rejoices in seeing the truth benefit other people. That's what charity does. Okay? So if the Corinthians were mature, they would understand charity. They wouldn't be childish so much and say, "Look what God gave me, look what God gave me." Oh, Merry Christmas to you. What about these other people? Okay, that's what charity does in chapter 13. Which is interesting because as we draw up here, what you see is the dispensational chart a little bit. You see promise, law, mystery, kingdom, right? There's a time here where there were signs and gifts given to the body of Christ. What for? Even in our own little dispensation, there's a time where nobody knew the mystery. Babies. And then God had to reveal it to them, give them signs and show them, here it is, here it is. They were being raised up. There was a time when the body of Christ, that's it. You've got the information, you've got the responsibility, you've got the job, go do it. Right? There's no more powers, no more prophets, no more signs, no more gifts. So even here, on a more micro level, you see this growing up period. And the Corinthians have all these powers and go, "Look what God gave me." And Paul's going, "No, no, no, you don't get it. There's a more excellent way. There's a growing up that needs to happen." Okay? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. It says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." What's he arguing for in chapter 13? That it's not about the gifts. It's about charity. It's about the truth. It's about understanding and taking responsibility. That's what he's arguing for. And so his point here is that you put away childish things when you have the understanding as an adult. Okay? You don't need those things anymore. People often ask today, "Why don't you think the signs are happening today? Don't you think God will give good things to his children?" Well, I don't think I'm a child in that sense. God has given us a mature position. I can take personal responsibility. Don't you see that when you talk with people and they pray for all sorts of things that, just to be frank, I'm not trying to insult people, but just to be frank, they're kind of childish, selfish. You know, "God, do this when we change my circumstance." Don't you see it now how that is kind of selfish? Why aren't you considering what God has done for you already and given you this position, responsibility, and understanding? Why aren't you operating that way? Of course, you don't say that to a child. They don't get it, right? But you can see that. You can discern it if you're mature in doctrine. As you grow up, you see that to be the truth. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. You put away those childish things. Okay? You act like an adult. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. A few verses later. He says, "Follow after charity. Desire spiritual gifts." That's what God's doing. He's giving spiritual gifts to the Corinthians, and therefore a purpose. So yeah, if God's given it, use it. Right? "But rather that you may prophesy. Rather that you may," verse 3, "speak unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." Edification, exhortation, and comfort are the three things that Paul says a father does in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. A father edifies, exhorts, and comforts their children. All right? And so he's saying, you guys need to be fathers. You need to be teachers. You need to grow up a bit. See souls saved and help them come to knowledge of the truth. Stop being children all the time. Children understanding. Right? Children in responsibility. Look at Ephesians 4. We'll see it one more place here. Where Paul once again walks through this being no more children, but rather being adults because of the doctrine that God has revealed to us in the mystery of Christ. I'm really not trying to sound arrogant or sound puffed up because, you know, knowledge puffs up. But there's a position God's given us, and if we would consider that position, it's like God's telling us to grow up. Okay, and we wouldn't act so childish before him and in our ministries. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Verse 11 and 12 talk about those gifts that the Corinthians were struggling with. And here he mentions just some of them: prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers. But they were given for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting, the completion. They were given for the maturity of the saints. Right? To grow them up. And in verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's not necessarily for all saints at all times, but for the body of Christ to be mature. It says in verse 13, till we all come in unity of the faith. There's a time when you don't need those instructions anymore. You don't need those powers, those gifts anymore, because you're mature. till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a complete man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. You see those words? Those are grown-up words. Those are mature words. You're the stature of a man. You're the measure of a man. You're complete, right? Well, you're grown up, right? Because you have the understanding. Who needs to speak in tongues when you know the revelation of the mystery of Christ? Right? You know, who needs the gift of healing when you know, 2 Corinthians 12, that God's grace is sufficient for all things? Okay, when you understand you have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that you're put here to see souls saved, so, and that the best witness you can have for people is when you suffer, because God is strongest by grace in that point. Okay. There's a fellow, I forget his name right off the top of my head, he's a fellow with no arms, no legs. You seen this guy? He's an evangelist. And he talks about the people that he has saved for his ministry. I think it's just interesting, not depending on what he's teaching, but when we go through suffering, when people go through trials in this dispensation, they glorify God, that's a testimony to God's grace. It's not a testimony to works or the law or God's intervention, it's a testimony to grace. And that's our ministry. Sometimes it's easier to perform that ministry when you're going through troubles. Because that's when you can manifest and say, look, I'm going through bad stuff, but God has given me grace. Right? What a testimony that is. Any rich person can say, oh yeah, I love God. Well, you would. You got money. You know, any child looks at that and says that. Right? So sometimes the best testimonies, and Paul was given this privilege to have a thorn in his flesh, to have troubles with his eyes, and he says, he's strongest in my weakness. Right? So in Ephesians 4, till we come to the unity of the faith, the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, verse 14, that we henceforth, from this time forward, from the time when that person grows up, we be no more children. A child is tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Wouldn't it be great if a child understood what was right, what was wrong, knew what was the true doctrine, was convicted of it, persuaded of it, and stood on it? Right? Didn't move. So when the parent was gone, there's the child still standing there because they're an adult now. They stand on their own, right? They're self-responsible, right? They've got the understanding in themselves. That's what it means to be an adult. So Paul says this, Ephesians 4:14. The reason why those gifts were given is so that he can mature the body of Christ, that we would have a position as adults that we can stand firm on the truth. Remember last week we studied the purpose of a fellowship, which is to hold the truth, teach the truth, continue in the truth. We have a very solid, stable, we have a function of just standing there, right? We don't have to do anything, we stand there. We need mature adults for this. We need to have the liberty to stand fast. That's what Paul says we do. So we're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, of the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's why parents are scared to let their children go outside alone. Right here. There's all sorts of crafty, cunning people who will harm them based on wrong teaching, wrong sayings, deceptions and lies, physical abuse. But wouldn't it be great to have a child who's now an adult, can stand on their own, who has the capability, the understanding to discern strangers from really friendly people? You know, that'd be nice. And that's what raising them is, okay? You say, I don't know, you know, the weather cycle. I can't teach my children. It's not about the weather cycle. It's not about the facts. It's not about those things. It's about raising them with an understanding to stand in the truth. And when they know God, they know the truth, they know the gospel, they can mature, they can grow up. See, and that will last the rest of their life. Right? That's what parents do. And that's what God has done with us dispensationally, was given us the mystery of Christ. He's given people that he didn't promise anything, knowledge and understanding and responsibility and a position. And he's told them, let's see how you stand when I give you maturity. Okay? And so far, you know, people don't do, in the church don't do a good job of it. If they're saved at all, they're going back to the law program. They're acting like children, asking God for every little thing, right? Why? He's given you all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Verse 15, we're to speak the truth in love. Children don't know the truth. You do, right? Speak the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You never stop learning. You never stop growing, right? But there's a time, Timothy was a youth. There's a time when he understood things and was able to teach other people. He could stand on his own. Paul says, don't be ashamed. Stand fast. Hold to it. There's a time when you're grown up. There's a time where you can have that understanding and be that person. Having the mystery, having the responsibility we have in the position means that we are not children anymore, dispensationally speaking. Okay, you get saved in the body of Christ, dispensationally speaking. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're mature. Now, that doesn't subvert the fact that we still have babies and still have children now. So you don't treat your child, who obviously has no understanding, as if they're a mature ambassador for Christ. But you know what? Jenny teaches the children back there, they're ambassadors. She teaches them the doctrinal truth. But you know what? They're still children. You wouldn't let them out in the streets on their own. Why? They can't take the responsibility for themselves. They can't make the choices for themselves. They don't understand some things. There's things they need to learn about life. Okay? Not in the textbooks. I learned about life. Right? And so that's why we do that. So, of course, we still have that function to raise individual people up. But dispensationally, the church has a mature position to take. Okay? Children are selfish. They can't make choices. They don't do what is expected. So how do you see that in the dispensation of grace? You tell someone that they're at liberty in Christ, right? They have all spiritual blessings, and they're not under the law program, and a child takes that and runs with it, right? What's a child do? Not what's expected. What's expected of someone who should realize that sin leads to death, and righteousness is life, and Christ gave you his righteousness? Go ahead, be his ambassador. And a child goes, I can sin. No, you're lacking understanding and responsibility here, right? You're not saved by your works, but you know what? You're a servant of God. Shouldn't you be doing good things, like godly things and righteous things? You see the problem there. We need to be more mature in our understanding of doctrine, even in this dispensation. Ephesians chapter 6. Look what Paul says here, instructions to fathers. Instructions to fathers. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right. That's a very law-type statement. You're not under the law, okay? There's no one dispensationally under the law today, but when you're a child, you need to obey your parents because it's right, right? It's a right thing. It's wrong to disobey them. Paul even alludes to the commandments and says, verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. He's not putting you under the law. You know what would be great? Is if you told your children to obey you because you're their parent, and they responded with, well, you know, Dad, I am a saint of the Most High God. Dispensationally, I understand the grace of God. I'm not under the law program, and I know my responsibility to behave like a son of God, and that would be great. Why would they, you need to command them to obey, if they're going to walk in righteousness? Do it. Walk in righteousness. Be godly. Be sober, son. You know, grow up. But speaking to children here who don't yet understand that. And so you lay down the law, as they say. You're not under the law. You say, obey your parents. It is right. Until you can mature and understand right doctrine and behave accordingly. Verse 4 says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Paul is speaking to people in the dispensation of grace about fathers and real children. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. When they're a child, they're no different than a servant. They have tutors and governors. Nurture, tutors, giving them what they need. Nurture, admonition, governor. That's what it is. They're our tutors and governors. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay? There's a time when they don't need that anymore, folks. When they have what they need, when they have the understanding, they don't need governed anymore. Okay? And the time point of the father, they need to discern that and say, hey, look, you know, you're growing up. You can take responsibility. Here it is. Do this. You know? Bring home the bacon, whatever it is. Okay, that's what it means. So fathers have a responsibility here. It's interesting it mentions fathers here. Hardly anywhere in the Bible does it mention mothers raising their children. Okay, even though they do. I mean, obviously they're helping the father. But it's father's responsibility. Everywhere in the Bible, it's the father's, the head of the home, is responsibility to raise their children. It says here, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. The mother's not going to do that. They don't love their children. You say, not my mom. You know, well... That's because things have changed quite a bit in people's understanding of the family. But the idea here is that mothers nurture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, where Paul says that we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. Women know how to love. Mothers know how to love, and they love their children to death. Okay, in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, as you know how he exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Paul was both a mother and a father to these people. He was a mother in the sense that he was gentle to them. He was a father in the sense that I exhorted, comforted, and charged. You know, that's interesting. You study what that means, exhort. It's going to be a motivation to do what's right. Come on, you can do it, son. Do what's right. They fall down, or you knock them down with your governance. You pick them back up. It's all right. You can do it again. Come on, let's go. Do it again. You charge them. Okay, you charge them to do what's right. That's what a father does. That's what God does. That's what Paul did to the Corinthians when he rebuked them for 16 chapters. Not very motherly, Paul. He says some bad things there. Why don't you just be gentle with them? He's charging them to be who they are.
Okay?
He has to coddle Timothy, actually, a little bit in 1 Second Timothy. But the Corinthians, he's rebuking them. He's exhorting them. He's charging them to be who they are in Christ, to be an adult, to grow up. He says in 1 Corinthians 16, to examine yourselves. Quit you like men. Stand fast in the faith. Right? You need to do it. Right? So you see, again, the responsibility that Paul's taking here in trying to educate, edify these baby Christians in this dispensation. And I'm trying to teach a twofold truth here. That one, that dispensationally, the church is mature. And we need to take that position, but also we need to grow up into it. And there's people in the body of Christ that aren't there yet. Right? And we need to give them that gentle admonition according to a mother, and sometimes that charge when they know better. Right? And that's the example that Paul gives us. Colossians 1, verse 9, Paul prays for the Colossians that they would grow up, essentially. In Colossians chapter 1, he prays that they would have all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Right? Well, that's what it means to be an adult. Children don't have that. Colossians 1, verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard what? Their faith in the gospel. So we heard you were born. The day we heard that the gospel is in you and you trusted it. Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul can't wait till they grow up. That should be our response to children. I sometimes say it loosely to Jenny, you know, I like children. I like to teach them. They're fun. They love to learn things and they're quick learners. They don't want to unlearn things. But you know what? I really like it better when they grow up. I can't talk to them. I can't talk to Parker. Yeah, they listen to him back there. He doesn't listen to any of us. The point is, you can't wait till they grow up. When they grow up, you can communicate with them. They have responsibility there. You can work together. Look, you're my son. You're a young person, but we can work together at this. You understand what I'm saying? So Paul says here that you might walk worthy of the Lord. You want to walk worthy of the Lord? Colossians 3 says to children, to be acceptable to the Lord, obey your parents. You say, well, I don't want to be a child anymore. Okay, fine, grow up. Grow up and you'll be fine. Have understanding. Get understanding. Proverbs says, get understanding and sell it not. Right? Be responsible. Take the position. It'll be amazing when you start helping your parents in what they do. And they'll say, you know what? You're not a child anymore. You're helping us with these other people now. These people lacking understanding. Paul wants them to grow up. 1 Corinthians 14:20 tells the carnal baby Corinthians over there not to be children in understanding. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. People tend to think that for children to grow up, they need to know about all the evils in the world. You know, here's some drugs, here's the bad things in the world, and here's the bad things they say and the bad words that you shouldn't say. Paul says, you can be children in those things, it doesn't matter. Be children in malice. Right? That's not the thing you need to be educated in. You need to have understanding. Understanding of what? God's truth, right and wrong, sin and righteousness. Hey, children can't understand those deep theological concepts. They do. It raises them in the knowledge of the truth. That's what that does. Teach them the same way you learn as a baby Christian what righteousness is and what sin is and what obedience means. Right? That way they can operate on their own. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20 says, be not children in understanding, in malice be children. In understanding be men. Understanding what? The truth. In the context, Paul's talking about the mystery that he's trying to communicate to people and the knowledge they can edify people with. Bible knowledge. Knowledge of the gospel, salvation. Paul says God's will is to see all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What is that truth? We covered a little bit last week. We covered here every week. The truth of the Bible rightly divided. It's the truth of how God works in our life through God's word. Right? It's the truth of how we're to walk in a resurrected life. Right? We know those things. We can communicate it to our children. You see, we communicate it to people who are of age, who act like children and don't know it. People in churches around us who don't understand the Bible rightly divided, and they act like children spiritually. Right? And so we can be apt to teach them as well, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at Titus 2, verse 12, and we'll wrap up here. It's grace, not law covenants, that teaches us to live godly. A lot of parenting books out there will try to encourage parents and give them the big stick and say, you're the parents and they're the children, and so you're going to lord it over them, you know, that sort of thing. We've already covered the law relationship of children, but Paul says it's not the covenants that mature people. The covenants and the law, yeah, they teach them the rightness and wrongness of things and what sin is, but it's grace that is the doctrine of maturity. It's grace that is the indicator of a mature saint or not, if they can operate in grace. Titus 2, verse 12. Verse 11 says, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Soberly. It's another way to say with responsibility. Okay? Not drunken. Righteously and godly. Do you know what's right and wrong? Do you know who God is? Do you know His character? Do you know what it means to be responsible? That's what it means to be a mature saint. And the grace of God teaches us that. The gospel of the grace of God teaches that. It teaches maturity. The covenant's never taught that. The covenant said, if you don't do it, whap, stand in the corner. Right? Grace teaches us how to be mature. Okay. So again, we have another example where dispensationally we are teaching a mature doctrine, the manifold wisdom of God. Okay, that He's called us to be mature saints. We need to know right doctrine. We need to know sound doctrine and our duty to God and to others. And the best tool to do that, the best tool to create mature adults, is establishing each other in the mystery of Christ and the Bible rightly divided. The book of Romans does that. On Tuesday nights, we're coming verse by verse to the book that builds a foundation on the doctrine of Jesus Christ according to Revelation of the mystery. So, okay, we'll stop there. Any comments or questions about that? Hope that was helpful, just as an example. We've been covering the last few weeks of how our behavior is affected by the doctrine that we know. Our behavior in church, our behavior in worship, but this morning even the behavior as parents and children.
When I used to go to youth group, we would, there was the studying of the Bible every now and then, like a little short lesson. And then there was game time. That's all we did. Just play games. And I'm asking my youth group leaders, please do some more studying? Well, you might be able to understand this, but doctrine is too much for these kids right now. But when I go to my mom and dad's class, they're going to be nowhere.
Yep. Yeah, what a brilliant way to raise children. Don't tell them anything, and then when they get of age, now they're ignorant. And people wonder why society is the way it is. And we've got churches run by children. We've got churches who have graduated youth group, and the pastors graduated youth group, they know nothing about doctrine. And they run the church. Well, what was youth group like? Fun and games, music, having fun. What's church supposed to be like? A good time, music, fun and games. We have a generation of pastors who have graduated the last generation's youth group who are totally ignorant of doctrine. Yeah, and so, children can understand doctrine, and they want it. I have an article we'll talk about next week. It talks about young people in youth groups, like you're talking about, and they want doctrine. And they ask them, what do you want from your youth group? And they're going, more study, more Bible. Because they're growing up, and they want to know that. The church, unfortunately, is so afraid they're going to run off when they grow up that they try to make the church appealing to them. I wrote this in my email yesterday. They try to make the church a good time so that when they get of age to have their own car, they'll go, I want to go to church. It's fun. But
the exact reason why they leave.
It's
like, so kidding.
It's childish.
Why don't you
want to be here? Yep. It's patronizing, isn't it? Yeah, you're just patronizing. Why don't you just give them the truth if they reject the truth and they're like anyone else?
I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
And on the flip side of it, being on both sides of it, because I wasn't Michael's youth leader, but I was a youth leader at the same church.
That would have been awkward.
But Justin and Monica and my wife and I, we did the senior high, and what we noticed is that they, like Michael was talking about, and what I love so much about here, even though I don't have young children, is that by the time kids got to the senior high, is what we call it, they didn't want doctrine because they were already gone.
Yeah.
They just disappeared.
Yeah.
They come in and
it's too late.
Of us would sit down together and we would talk about these kids are old enough, they need to be learning. We're not here to entertain them. We didn't want to entertain them.
Yeah.
Now, granted, we were teaching the wrong doctrine. We weren't rightly dividing, but we felt like what we were teaching at the time was correct.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many a night when there was two or three kids there.
Yeah.
Many a Sunday when there was two or three kids there because nobody wanted to learn it by then.
Yeah.
And they've got to learn when they're young.
Yep.
These kids back here are just absolutely amazing at how fast and how much they learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tell the girls all the time how much further ahead.
Well, they're so better prepared, for just life in general, but now they can make choices based on doctrine. They can learn other things in school and reading books and things, but it's that doctrinal understanding of who God is that really grounds them and where they need to be. Yeah. Any other comments?
Parker was amazing.
Parker, yeah, he was right on it. He was opening that table of contents. He was ready to go.
He's ready to eat that stuff.
Yeah. All right, let's say a prayer and we'll wrap up today. Lord, we thank you that you give us responsibility. I pray that we would take more of it and be able to handle it and to study to show ourselves approved unto you, so that we would be able to help other people understand and help them realize the mature position you've given us all and the responsibility you've given us to see souls saved and saints edified. I thank you for the people here this morning and their desire to learn and to grow. And we thank you for your salvation by grace. Amen.